In recording my stories for A Scary Home Companion, I don't always get the creative control that I would like. The style of the podcast is to just tell stories, regardless of sequence. And small details are introduced sometimes before they have any real context. That is not the way my mind works. After the modest success of my last two reports, I went back to a series of smaller segments I did in 2019. When combined, they suggest a troubling pattern. That this priest with the red hands has been influencing events long before we started to chronicle them. Some new information has come to my attention that casts these stories in a new light. I am Marianne Simpson, and this is Chasing Ghosts, a special report.
Drinking whiskey in the kitchen and telling scary stories around the fire. Music, monsters, and mayhem, killers, cannibals, and cults, fearful fiction and furious fact, tall tales, and terrible truths. This is A Scary Home Companion.
In the episode titled The Horror in Cell 6, I interviewed former television producer Del Dugan about an incident he witnessed at Slate County Correctional Facility. I also tracked down his colleague, a woman named Tanis Cray. She left a particularly deep impression in me. Not just because she was a journalist obsessed with the occult, but because of what she said to me.
Hello? Are you Tanis Cray? My name is Marianne Simpson. I wanted to meet you. Listen, I know you don't like to talk, but I thought you might want to hear what I have to say.
Your name is Marianne?
Yes?
I have a message for you.
I have not spoken with Tanis or Del since then. But recently, Mr. Dugan reached out to me with a very unusual update about his friend and former coworker.
Hello, Ms. Simpson. This is Del Dugan. I spoke to you about a year ago for a show about Slate County Prison and Tanis Cray. I hope your story turned out. I have to admit, I never listened to it, and probably never will, but that isn't personal, you understand. It's just not something I can revisit. Especially now, I'm in a really good place, which is partly why I waited so long to contact you. Look, a couple weeks ago something happened. I tried to let it go, but it's been nagging at me, so I thought I would call you. Honestly, I don't know anyone else who would care. Tanis showed up at my house one night. It was late. She looked a little rough around the edges, but I didn't think she was drunk or on anything. I didn't even know she was out. I remember you saying you were going to the psych ward to talk to her, and that was the last I'd heard. But there she was at my front door, past midnight, talking grade A craziness. Crazy enough that I did not invite her in. As much as I wanted to help her, I just didn't feel comfortable with her in my house. She was off. She kept saying she knew how to get there now. And that she needed a boat? She must have asked me 5 times if I have a boat. I don't, by the way. The best I was able to figure, she had met a man. This man came to her in the psych ward and told her where to go. She said that he showed her a jar filled with black and green, and it talked inside her head. Then there was something about a book man. She might not be able to ride with him, but she could follow him. He was the only way to get to the island, but now she could find him so she could find it. I'm not saying any of this means anything, but the next day I looked up the number for where she'd been cared for, and they said she had disappeared. I just thought you'd like to know, in case she was coming to see you next. Please call me if you have any questions. Take care.
As surprised as I was to hear about Tanis, I was even more surprised to hear this description of a jar filled with a black and green ooze. Suddenly, the story feels a lot bigger, more connected. Perhaps delusional ramblings aren't always delusional. What if the insane just see things the rest of us can't? I'm Marianne Simpson with part two of my investigation into the recent events surrounding journalist Tanis Cray. Last week, I talked to her former producer Del Dugan, who described meeting Tanis after her escape from the mental facility. His story chilled me, but not for the reason you might think.
What was inside the jar? It was the tumor he found in Henry's head. It had been in that jar, in that safe, for 20 years. It was still crawling around.
About a year ago, I had a very strange interview with a woman who claimed to be hiding from malevolent forces and shadowy government agents. It was all talk and no proof, so as a journalist, I was wary. Although she was one of my more fascinating interviews, I never believed her until recently. In light of some of the other stories I've covered, I revisited that interview and found that it played very different for me now.
He said no one would believe me, that the only people who would believe me were them. He was wrong, though. There are other people, government people. They know about it. They know where it comes from. You read Daddy's book?
Yes, I did.
Then you know what's in the jar. It's green and black. Powdered emeralds and oil. It sings, you know.
After listening to Del Dugan's encounter with Tanis Cray, there were too many similarities to dismiss. This woman claimed to be the daughter of Dr. Cochran, the prison doctor, who performed the infamous autopsy on Barbed Wire Henry and subsequently became a recluse. How were the delusional ramblings of two women so very disconnected, so very similar?
It swims in your blood and makes a nest in your brain so it can tell you what to do. It whispers and it sings. I think that's why Daddy killed himself, to make the singing stop.
But what actually is it?
It's the devil. A little piece of the devil. And he wants it back.
Dora Cochran was not the only one who repeated these ideas. Barbed Wire Henry's fellow inmates vividly recall what he said lived inside of his head and even thought that his madness might have spread to others.
Some nights we talked. He told me there was something living in his head. He could feel it crawling around when he tried to sleep. He said people came to see him from over there. I could hear them talking, but it wasn't in words I could understand. They held black mass in that cell. I heard 100 voices all chanting at once. They killed babies on the shore of a black island. I heard it all. I could even smell it. Low tide and old blood.
Whatever these things are, they are connected to this mythological island, and they are connected to the minds of serial killers. It would seem the island is not symbolism, but an actual place in the Devil's Triangle. So was it any surprise that that's where Tanis Kray went? Or is it any surprise that I followed? Monique Evans is known to her clients as Captain Mo. Although just 30 years old, she has 20 years' experience on the water and a decade serving as pilot and owner of her own private charter vessel. Over the years, Captain Mo has had some off experiences at sea, but nothing quite like what happened to her 2 months ago. Thank you for talking with me, Captain.
All my friends call me Mo.
Let's start at the beginning of your eventful evening. You had just returned from a charter.
Yeah, long day. The clients drank a lot of beer. A few of them couldn't handle it on the water. Pretty common, actually. They had all cleared out, and I was picking up empties and hosing off puke. Another day in paradise. That was just after dark.
And where were you?
I kept my boat at the marina up near Port Orange. Not the main one. This one is privately owned. Mostly rents to locals. Usually pretty quiet after hours, but there were a few people there that night. No one I'd ever seen before. Anyway, that's when that woman tried to get on my boat.
That woman would be Tanis Kray?
That's what I'm told, but I didn't know her from Eve, so I made sure she stayed on the dock.
A woman's boat is her castle.
You're damn right about that. This woman says she wants to rent my boat. A private charter, just her. I said, where are you going? She says she doesn't know yet. She's waiting on someone. I tell her, no dice, I'm leaving.
What happened next, Mo?
She started getting agitated and said she just wants to borrow my boat. I saw where this was headed, so I grabbed my scatter.
Scatter?
Yeah, a scatter gun. A shotgun. Go on now, scat, right? Always got to keep one on board in case a big fish gets caught up or some asshole decides to get handsy. You live in Florida, you got a boat, you damn sure better keep a gun on it, especially if you're a woman.
So did she leave?
You'd think the gun was in her backing, but it didn't. She backed off, but she kept on running her mouth. Some island she needed to get to, something about her dreams. It was hard to keep up all the shit she was talking. Something about skins. Does that mean anything to you?
It does, actually.
At this point, she wasn't the only thing I was worried about. I told you some unfamiliar faces were hanging around. Well, yeah. Now there were more of them. I don't know. Maybe 15. Maybe 20 people, give or take. None of them were local. And it didn't even seem like any of them were looking at the boats. They were staring out into the ocean. Like they were all waiting for something. You ever see that old movie, The Birds? How all them birds will just totally sit still, all of them just staring off in one direction? It was like that, a whole flock of them.
And what did you do next?
I backed her off. I got myself out of there.
Weren't you worried about your boat?
Well, sure, of course I was. I was more worried about those people. Boat got insurance, my ass don't.
Do you have any idea what those people wanted?
Sort of. Don't make much sense, but I found a lot of people in the parking lot. Just doing nothing. Staring off like everyone else. Seriously creepy. So I asked one of them, the guy doesn't look at me. Doesn't blink. It just says, the priest with red hair.
I read that your boat got stolen. Have they found it yet?
Not yet. Been about 7, 8 weeks. Nothing. If they ever do find it, I expect they'll be in the triangle. Probably better off staying lost.
When I spoke to Del Dugan, he said that Tanis Cray had been visited by a man carrying a jar. A jar filled with something black and green. Back when I interviewed Dora Cochran, she mentioned a priest. At the time, I dismissed it as her deranged rambling. But now...
I met a woman who worked for the DRO once. She knew things. She knew things, right? She told me there's a priest who has a collection of jars just like mine.
These women, it would seem, were not alone. According to the captain, there are more people out there, many more, who are still following the mysterious man. The priest with red hands. I vowed I would no longer chase Tanis Cray, because truth be told, I was afraid I might actually find her. Even though I stopped chasing the story wasn't done with me. Just a few months ago, I heard this news report out of Florida.
She was suffering from dementia brought on from severe dehydration, malnutrition, and blood loss. Tanis Cray is very lucky to be alive, but now authorities have questions for her.
My mistake had been in thinking that I was reporting on something that had happened, when in fact, I was reporting on something that was still happening. And it still is. This story is ongoing. When I contacted the Coast Guard, they reported turning Tanis Cray over to federal agents. I was not able to find an official record of what happened to her after that. Once again, Tanis had vanished. I felt it was important to present this information because something new has come to light. Regular listeners of the show will recognize the name Professor Andre Argento. He is one of the world's foremost scholars on the mythology of the dreamscape, and in particular, of the ghastly ones. Argento is a fixture on my interviews, and I have had the pleasure of interviewing him several times. We have, in fact, become friends over the last 2 years. It is this friendship, I believe, and our shared interest in this story that prompted him to leave me a voicemail 3 weeks ago. A somewhat troubling voicemail. The last I had heard from Argento, he was working on a study in Haiti, indigenous folklore involving Tonton Macoot and the Bookmen. Here is his message.
Mrs. Simpson, hello, it's Andre. I remember we had an interview scheduled sometime soon, but I'm afraid I won't be able to honor that. You see, I've been presented with a very exciting opportunity. One we have discussed before, you and I. I met a woman who says she can take me to the island. Yes, yes, I thought the same thing, of course, it can't be real. But this woman, she says she knows you. Her name is Tanis. She has the most wonderful specimen to show me. I look forward to telling you all about my journey when I return, my dear. Auf Wiedersehen!
Professor Andre Argento has been reported as a missing person. If you have any knowledge of his whereabouts, please contact the show, scaryhomecompanion@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you. I will bring you details as they develop.